Public Media News. This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, March 6th. Coming up, since Monday, we've seen a lot of rain in central Illinois, but is it enough to end the drought? The state climatologist tells us why we have a long way to go. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is poking fun at U.S. Department of Homeland Security head Kristi Noem's departure. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Pritzker has a message for Noem.
Hey, Kristi Noem, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
President Trump fired Noem, who earlier this week was grilled by U.S. Senator Dick Durbin and other Democrats in Congress for her role in the Fed's aggressive deportation campaign.
We saw shootings and we saw breaking the law. We saw corruption under Kristi Noem, and so not sure you could do worse.
Pritzker needled Noem on Threads, setting up a mock LinkedIn profile of her that listed one of Noem's traits as unlicensed dog euthanizer. In her memoir, Noem admitted to fatally shooting her 14-month-old dog. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Financial challenges at Eastern Illinois University have led to a nearly $2 million deficit. That's led to department mergers and faculty not having their contracts renewed. EIU's student government president, Claire Weber, says the funding gap is already affecting the student experience.
I think a lot of our student body is quite frustrated at the adequacy gap. Most of the effects that I've seen from these layoffs and hiring freezes on students has been losing faculty that they really care about.
Western Illinois University is also dealing with less support. Zach Massersmith, the school's director of governmental relations, says the university wants a new adequacy funding formula that's being considered in the General Assembly.
No university will receive less funding than they do today. I think that's really important, you know, as we talk about moving higher ed forward in the state of Illinois.
The bill would calculate how much money each university needs based on formulas like how many students they enroll. State funding would be assigned based on a formula instead of lobbying from the schools. While regional universities are backing the measure, the University of Illinois system is against it. Chief Financial Officer Paul Ellinger says the formula changes would hurt the system's interests.
The specific formula that is being proposed does not have good outcomes for the University of Illinois broadly. And the University of Illinois would not benefit from the current formula and the current actions.
The Equitable University Funding Bill is being considered by lawmakers in the House Higher Education and Rules Committees. I'm Abasola Dahunsi, IPM News.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has been withholding about 2% of state funding for public universities. That's put them in a difficult position as they adjust to reduced state funding. And as IPM's Abasola Dahunsi reports, lawmakers in Springfield are debating a new formula that could change how Illinois funds its flagship and regional universities. Illinois honored 28 schools with Blue Ribbon Schools Awards at an event at the Governor's Mansion this week. Governor J.B. Pritzker established the statewide award program after President Donald Trump's administration abolished the national equivalent. Capital News Illinois reports the event honored academic excellence at 15 public and 13 private K-12 schools. The federal version had existed since 1982. The Trump administration told states this summer it was ending the award as part of Trump's goal of returning education to the states. The Illinois women's basketball team beat Michigan State 71-69 yesterday in their second game of the Big Ten tournament in Indiana. IPM's Jonathan Matthew has more.
It was a close game between the Illini and Spartans, but Michigan State went scoreless in the last 3 minutes of the first half, and Illinois went into halftime with a 7-point lead. Freshman forward Sierra Parchman scored 15 points in those two quarters, helping Illinois take control of the court. In the second half, the Spartans had a comeback to regain the lead momentarily, and Illinois bounced back to take a 9-point lead later in the fourth quarter. But as time ran out, Michigan State began to close the gap and got within 2 points with 30 seconds remaining, but a costly turnover sealed their fate. Parchman ended her night with 15 points and 6 rebounds, while freshman Destiny Jackson scored 14 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. The women's team now advances to the third round of the tournament, where they'll take the court again Friday at 5:30 to face Iowa. I'm Jonathan Matthew, IPM News.
And the men's basketball team will travel for their final regular season game and take on Maryland this Sunday at 2 p.m. Still to come, since Monday we've seen a lot of rain in central Illinois, but is it enough to end the drought? The state climatologist tells us why we have a long way to go. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today: partly cloudy, breezy, and warmer, with a slight chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 76 degrees, with a south wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms and a low of 60 degrees, south wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, a chance of thunderstorms in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy and windy with a high of 68 degrees, a west wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 36 degrees, northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Sunday, sunny with a high of 61 degrees and a southwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, daylight saving time is starting up again as we head for the long days of spring and summer. There are those who want us to permanently spring forward and others who'd have us fall back for good. We'll talk about the science behind DST and the debate over whether to scrap it or keep it year-round. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. After one of the driest years on record, we're finally seeing rain in central Illinois. According to the National Weather Service, between Tuesday and Thursday, parts of southern Champaign, Douglas, and Moultrie counties received more than 4 inches of rain. That might sound like a lot, but the U.S. Drought Monitor says east central Illinois remains in extreme drought. IPM's Weather Realness podcast is talking about this week's rains and why our area is still so dry. Here's co-hosts Maddie Stover and Illinois climatologist Trent Ford speaking on this week's episode.
The period between August 2025 and January 2026 was a top 10 driest on record in most of central Illinois. So Trent, we finally got some rain last night. We're recording this Wednesday, March 4th. Can you remind us why we're still in a drought aside from, despite that thunderstorm we got last night?
You know, my son saw the thunder. It's like, wow, was that lightning? When's the last time we had that? And it felt like months. So most of the east central part of Illinois picked up at least an inch of rain. Some got closer to 2 to 3 inches, a little bit farther south of Champaign. But that was great. We need more. And the reason we're still in drought is because, sort of as you mentioned, going all the way back to August, but even around the Champaign area further back last year, you know, we're looking at deficits of, you know, 15 to 20 inches below what we would normally tend to see over the last like 12 months or so. So 3 inches of rain is great, but it's sort of a drop in the bucket, so to speak, on what we actually need. And so we definitely cannot, beggars can't be choosers. We cannot, we want to be sure to celebrate the rain. And it looks like more is on its way, hopefully, but we definitely need more to really start to make progress on the drought conditions.
Mm-hmm. So what parts of Illinois are under sort of like a more serious mandatory water restriction?
Yeah, so right now what we have, if we're going by the U.S. Drought Monitor, which is one of the better sources of drought information across the U.S., what we see is most of east central Illinois, kind of Bloomington, Normal to Champaign-Urbana over to Decatur, is in extreme drought, which is D3. It's the second from the worst category. Most of central Illinois, all the way over to Quincy, down towards the St. Louis area, and even up now to LaSalle, Peru area, and kind of north central Illinois is in severe drought, which is D2. And over 80% of the state is in some form of drought, moderate drought or worse, so it's D1. Actually, the only place in the state that's really not in drought right now is the Chicagoland area, because they've just gotten they haven't been wet, but they've gotten just enough precipitation. And so, you know, with that, those categories, we see that a lot of the water resource impacts so far of private wells going dry or mandatory water restrictions have mainly occurred in east central Illinois. So municipalities like Bloomington, Decatur, Sullivan, they've enacted mandatory water restrictions or water emergencies because of low levels in their reservoirs or groundwater.
And why are there, why don't we have any water restrictions here in Champaign-Urbana?
Yeah, it's interesting. So part of it, yeah, I mean, if you look at the deficits and where the drought is the worst, it's Champaign-Urbana. The reason that we're having impacts outside of Champaign-Urbana has more to do with how those water systems are set up. And this is one important part of drought, that a drought has an impact that's not just caused by the hazard itself, the weather, but caused by the human systems that we build and how vulnerable they are to drought. So cities like Decatur and Bloomington are on what we call surface water, which is lakes that are fed by certain types of streams. And they tend to be more flashy in the response to drought, meaning they can go into drought much more quickly. They can experience lower levels that hit those kind of triggers that force the city to enact these water restrictions. But when we get a lot of rain, they also recover a lot more quickly. Champaign-Urbana is fed by the Mahomet Aquifer. Good news, bad news. Good news is that it takes a lot longer and more severe of a drought to start seeing the Mahomet levels go down to the point where residents in Champaign-Urbana could take notice. The bad news is that if we ever got to that point, it does take quite a long time to refill.
That was Illinois climatologist Trent Ford and Maddie Stover from IPM's Weather and Climate podcast, Weather Realness. To hear the entire episode, which also explores how the Mahomet Aquifer is affected by the drought, listen to Weather Realness tomorrow, Saturday at 11 a.m. on WILL AM 580, or you can listen on the Illinois Public Media YouTube channel. Funding for Weather Realness is partially provided by the Backlund Charitable Trust. That's it for today. 2 & 7 Today is produced by Juliana Means. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Mawa Iqbal, and Abasola Dehunsi. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 & 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and have a great weekend.